Welcome to episode 23 of the SWNZ podcast, the podcast for New Zealand Star Wars fans. My name is Matt.
And my name is Christy.
This past week has been great for Star Wars fans. It was May the 4th on Tuesday. May the 4th has become to be known as Star Wars Day. This is a play on words that started off as just a little bit of an internet joke many years ago now, but it's really been capitalized on by retailers and even official Star Wars channels to really push Star Wars content and Star Wars hobbies. And it is what you make of it. I actually really enjoyed Star Wars Day on May the 4th. We spent a lot of time engaging in Star Wars hobbies and Star Wars content on our various websites, as well as SWNZ. We run a couple of other websites that I might as well just throw in here. Christy runs a website about Star Wars apparel and fashion called The Kessel Runway. And we have our personal blog called Villa Varakino, where we just talk about our personal collection rather than Star Wars news as we do here on SWNZ. You can check those out in the links on our main site. But as I said, we really enjoyed Star Wars Day. We felt that the community was, you know, really engaged in the event. It was fun to see a lot of activity in the SWNZ community sites. Such as
Star Wars, as you can imagine, is a pretty dominant part of our lives. But for Star Wars Day, we go that sort of little bit extra. We had Star Wars Baby Yoda cereal for breakfast. We listened to the Star Wars music, played Star Wars video games, and of course watched the new series on Disney Plus, and just really got involved in the online community and celebrated with everyone. It's just a fun day to sort of really show your appreciation for how much you love Star Wars and what Star Wars has sort of brought into your life and the way that you express your fandom, whether it's collecting. We saw baking, nail art, people decoing up their cars with Star Wars themes and license plates, t-shirts, helmets, video games. It was really neat to see the breadth of people's expression of love for Star Wars.
Yeah, it was a real feel-good day in general. And it's past now, but it is actually going to make up a lot of what we talk about over the next little while of today's podcast. Yeah, you mentioned the new Star Wars content on Disney Plus. The Bad Batch launched on May the 4th. We're going to talk about that at the end of this podcast, just in case you haven't seen it yet. We'll let you know when we're touching on that. We're not going to go too deep into spoilers, but a little bit of what we talk about will be spoilery. It came out on May the 4th on Tuesday to celebrate May the 4th. Good opportunity for Disney Plus to launch that content. But I believe, we'll find out tomorrow for certain, it is being realigned to a Friday schedule. So we're actually going to get a second episode this week. I'm really looking forward to that. But that wasn't the only content, Star Wars content, that came out on Disney Plus. We put a big article on SWNZ about all of the bonus content, Star Wars content that you can find on Disney Plus, because there is more than you may actually be aware, and some of it is actually brand new and some of it is actually quite old archival material. But it's a little bit buried. It's generally found under the extras section of each of the respective Star Wars movies, and you have to page through all of those to really sort of find good stuff to watch. So we've broken that down on the SWNZ website, and you can just list your way through it, find what you want, and you know which movie that you'll find that material under. There's some really fun stuff. But in addition to that, there were a couple of unexpected, almost unannounced additions to Disney Plus. Star Wars Biomes and Star Wars Vehicle Flythroughs were launched on May the 4th. Both of these are just sort of little digital ambient clips made up of Star Wars material. They're just sort of fillers. There's not a lot of story in there. They're just visual and audio experiences. But I think they're really cool. The Star Wars Biomes is a single, just under 20 minutes episode that takes us through a number of different environments, Star Wars environments, planets, and plays with the soundscapes and the visuals in quite an artistic way. And the vehicle flythroughs looks like it might have some further additions down the line, because it's referred to episode 1 and episode 2. These are flythroughs of highly detailed digital models of the Millennium Falcon and a First Order Star Destroyer. They're only a few minutes each, but they're very fun just to absorb.
These flythroughs really do look movie quality. They really do fool the eye in terms of whether these are physical things that you are sort of virtually walking through. That was quite impressive, the level of detail. They were probably built with movie assets. that they would have created for the films. But nonetheless, this was a fun sort of just little bonus thing for fans. I particularly liked the biomes. This makes me think back to the Soaring Over the World ride at the Disney parks, where it's sort of like a high viewpoint slowly moving over particular landscapes with little sort of bonus animals and other little features to observe on the ground below. It's almost like a screensaver. It's a little short. There are videos on YouTube that kind of evoke this sort of thing where you can put something on and it's kind of like a screensaver type thing, but at only 18 minutes and it rotates through several different planets within the Star Wars galaxy. But it's quite relaxing, just the sort of thing to put up on the TV over breakfast or something like that. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, do check them out if you haven't seen them. Like Christy says, they're wide panoramic shots, so you've got to scan your eye over the whole environment to look for all the Easter eggs, many of which are actually movie related. And yes, the vehicle fly-throughs, they must be using existing Disney Lucasfilm assets, because once you've got that level of detail incorporated into a model, then you'll want to just reuse it over and over for consistency. But as well as the detail in terms of like surface dressing of these spacecrafts, the vehicle fly-throughs are really a sort of an opportunity to show off the skill of the digital artists. They get in really close and show you the weathering and the aging on the metallic surfaces and so forth. You know, that Disney Plus has done similar things with some other franchises, where it's just an opportunity to really showcase the talent of the digital and audio artists that are part of, you know, Disney and Lucasfilm. It's a great celebration of that talent.
If you're a fan of classic Disney animation content on Disney Plus, you might have seen this in another form with the Zenimation sort of short films on Disney Plus, where they focus on the background animation. So they've taken sort of the characters out and you're seeing the environments, the sounds, things like waves splashing, birds flying, and just sort of the ambient noises. So when you take away the music and the characters and scenes, you really do see just how incredibly detailed the animation has become when you strip away the sort of the distracting elements, which of course are the story. But it's really fun to see them taking that approach and giving us some Star Wars versions.
Yeah, and so the Star Wars biomes, it shows us a few locations from the movies, from the streaming service series such as The Mandalorian, and hopefully down the line we'll get more. That's not a promise from Disney Plus at the moment, because they haven't indicated that this is part one or number one or any such thing. But that seems to be the case for the vehicle fly-throughs. I'm looking forward to keeping an eye out for more of those down the line.
The vehicle fly-throughs are a must-see if you're a fan of the cross-sections book. It's like actually going inside with your own sort of tour through the vehicles, and I really do hope we get to see a lot more.
Right, so like I said at the start, we actually spent a lot of Star Wars Day sort of online absorbing and interacting with the Star Wars community. But another big part of that, and this flowed through into the following day when it was May the 4th in the US, another big part of that was all of the product reveals, a number of which are actually already up for pre-order here in New Zealand, but we'll get to that as we cycle through the whole list. There were some really cool reveals. There were some slightly frustrating ones. We'll talk about that as we move through the list. Let's start with Hasbro, because they kicked off basically overnight between May the 4th and May the 5th New Zealand time. They had quite a long list of reveals. Some of them are quite cool. Some people felt a shade let down, to be honest, because there could have been more and more interesting ones, and unfortunately there are a few exclusive products in there which can be a bit frustrating. But it's not all bad news, because some of those exclusives, we've already seen some outlets that are going to stock those that are available to locals. Let's look at the list. We've got a extension of the Black Series 6-inch Gaming Greats figures that includes a Flame Trooper from Jedi Fallen Order, the Knight Brother Warrior from Jedi Fallen Order, Imperial Shock Trooper from The Bad Batch, that's the red decoed clone trooper, and a new character, Vice Admiral Rampart from The Bad Batch. Those are listed as GameStop exclusives or Walmart exclusives in the US, but I believe EB Games already has those up for pre-order now here in New Zealand, so that's a good thing. There's also a repaint of the Boba Fett helmet, which is coming out in Death Watch Mandalorian colours. That's listed as a GameStop exclusive in the US. We may see that locally at EB Games. And Hasbro showed a pipeline reveal. That means a figure that they've just started working on the new character Omega from The Bad Batch, which will be coming out in 2022 in the 6-inch Black Series scale.
Hasbro did these reveals in a YouTube video like they have for previous sort of releases, and you can kind of get a feel for the collecting community sentiments in the comments. YouTube, of course, does attract its fair share of negativity, but there is one thing that seems to be a pretty clear consensus, in that American fans even don't like the exclusives, in that it's hard to secure these items. And they are often exclusives to stores that don't really know how to handle things that are highly collectible. They might have a cheaper price point. Black Series are not that expensive in the US, but people do want a nice crisp box, particularly if you keep them carded or boxed. And a place like Walmart, that's not really... The packing staff is not going to really know what is a toy for a child and what is a collectible that needs to be kept pristine. And the sentiments of fans finding out that their orders were cancelled, or people buying out too much stock and dumping them on eBay, the whole exclusive sort of mentality does really twist collecting a little bit. And it's sad to see Hasbro was continuing with this, even when the fans are getting a bit vocal about the fact that we don't really like this. It's a little bit different if it's, say, an Entertainment Earth exclusive. They are a company that is well versed with collectibles. They understand a lot of the collectible websites have like a pristine packaging promise, in that they will make sure that the people that pay that extra dollar or two get something that they can keep carded, whereas these types of stores are never going to understand that or offer it.
No, so it'll end up on a shelf where it's not respected. And at least the likes of Entertainment Earth is accessible online. You're out of luck if you're somewhere else in the globe and can't get to a Walmart store.
I mean, as a New Zealand example, we saw Farmers get a number of Black Series exclusives. And unless you were able to get these things case fresh, put on the shelf that morning, they got pretty dinged up on the kids section toy store shelves pretty fast. Those metallic boxed figures
scratched really easily.
They scratched really easily. They were cardboard. The hangers broke, so they fell off the racks. And of course, the whole point of those figures was the collectible limited edition packaging. And as soon as you wreck that, it's not as good. And I don't understand why they had a high price point collectible in the kids section. The whole thing didn't make sense. I understand it with EB Games, because they're targeting Star Wars fans and there's a significant proportion of collectors there. But the fact that Farmers had several exclusives in the Black Series line made no sense to me. So I can understand Americans getting really upset about the Walmart exclusives.
Yeah, at least we're getting some of these exclusives to EB Games, but that's not without its problems, to be honest, as well. They do price them a little bit higher than arguably they should, which is a little bit frustrating. And They have a pre-order and stocking philosophy that has introduced a few challenges from time to time, and a few people have encountered headaches with that.
Sometimes with EB Games, they'll get it to you straight away like you expect. Other times it could be a year later and you're still waiting and they're like, it's delayed. And then there are times where they have just flat out cancelled and said, we can't get stock in, because it was like a year later. And of course the item's no longer being made. So it can be a little bit hit and miss. And unfortunately with a lot of these exclusives, New Zealand collectors will end up having to go to places like eBay and other reseller collectible websites. So hopefully these will pan out for New Zealand collectors, that EB Games will come through for us. At least these aren't really sort of highly sought after mainline characters. We've got, for the most part, sort of army builder characters, troopers and the like. But we have seen things like this happen with like Revan figures, a popular character, and the nature of exclusivity and stockists has really tripped a lot of collectors up. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. Fingers crossed on that one.
Having said that, of course, we love Star Wars. We're very positive Star Wars fans. We try to see the good in all Star Wars news. So it is good to see these new characters coming out in action figure format, and that they're generally accessible. Some of them are generally accessible to New Zealand. But yeah, we do have a bit of a personal pet peeve against exclusives. It makes it hard to get the figures you really want. And you maybe, you know, talk about that at some point else down the line.
It is a weird viewpoint. I mean, you've got fans that are very eager to give you money and you're making them go through hoops and hurdles to get it. It's like, they're already eager. Don't put obstacles in the cash flow.
Okay, so that conversation was kicked off by the Black Series figures. Also revealed were a number of Vintage Collection figures. Again, unfortunately, some of these are going to be Target exclusives, but there may be ways around that for Kiwis, and we'll touch on those. And those that we don't have information about, we will talk about on the SWZ website as news becomes available. Previously, they did a prototype Darth Vader series where you had random colorations of the plastic that the limbs and body were made up of to sort of commemorate the test shot figures from the vintage era. A prototype retro Boba Fett in the 3.75-inch scale is going to be coming out. And the color combinations for the limbs and body part mean that there's going to be a lot of variations on this. This is actually a Target exclusive. We don't know if this is going to be available in New Zealand. In the Vintage Collection, we are going to see Clone Trooper Echo. This is his Clone Wars variation rather than the Bad Batch variation of Clone Trooper Echo. And Off-World Jawa from The Mandalorian and Teebo the Ewok from Return of the Jedi. Those, I believe, are not exclusives. And I think Pop Guardian here in New Zealand might actually have some of those up on their website for pre-order right now.
The Off-World Jawa, of course, will be an excellent addition. If you have pre-ordered the Razor Crest, you might want to army build some Jawas to have them perhaps trying to scavenge pieces from the Razor Crest.
He comes with an egg accessory. And also in the Vintage Collection, branded with the Lucasfilm 50th anniversary logo, under the original 96 line, so these are all based on action figure characters that were released as vintage figures back in the 70s and 80s. We've got the Death Star droid, Luke Skywalker in Endor gear, and a Tusken Raider. These are listed as Walmart exclusives, but I believe Zavvi, the Australian online retailer that ships for very reasonable prices to New Zealand, does have these, so that's good news. And finally, rounding out the reveals from Hasbro, the winner of the Vintage Collection fan vote was the Republic Trooper from Star Wars The Old Republic. Very happy about that, personally.
This was a fan vote of figures that have been released previously, but for various reasons are still quite highly sought after. So if you missed out on the original issue of the Republic Trooper figure, this should hopefully be a little easier to find to fill that gap in your collection. It's a great figure.
Having said that, I mean, it may be quite sought after. It may be a little bit of a battle to get hold of one or more of that.
That's true.
But, you know, we'll chase it down. I believe he's going to come with that sort of updated paint decos. So he will be a shade different from the original version. I'm really excited to talk about the announcements we saw from Hot Toys and Sideshow Collectibles, though, because some of these just about made me fall out of my chair when I saw them. Top of the list is in the 12-inch scale, 1/6 scale, a Blurg and a Blurg Deluxe set with the Mandalorian. Those are actually up for pre-order from Mighty Ape, but you can also buy them directly from Sideshow and a few other retailers. That Blurg comes on quite a solid base, so the Blurg itself is already elevated off the ground. You put a Mandalorian on the top of it, and that is a huge display piece. And I love that the Blurg, which has been around since the Ewok movies in the 80s, has been, you know, recreated with this amazing level of detail. It's just a personal favorite of mine, and I'm really excited to see that. And it's a little bit surprising that we see it in that scale before we see it in some of the smaller scales, but yeah, it looks fantastic.
Up until now, the Blurg's only been available in collectible form, mostly in the Funko range, pop vinyls. I've kind of been surprised that Hasbro didn't reveal it in part of the Black Series line, or in the 4-inch line. So jumping all the way up to 12-inch scale is kind of cool, considering that there aren't other versions. And it's going to be a little pricey, but it's pretty much on par with the premium format in terms of the total sum height of it.
It's huge.
And the, I guess, the weight of it, because it's going to be just solid plastic, essentially. Maybe hollow, but still, it's going to be a pretty sizable piece, complete with Mandalorian in his pre-Beskar armor, as we see him in the very early episodes of the series. So if you didn't get that Mandalorian, you can now get him with the Blurg. Or if you do have that version of the Mandalorian Hot Toys figure, you can buy just the Blurg on its own and put the two together to create your own.
And there's also going to be a Queel figure in the one in the 1/6 scale to go with that. And so you can buy an extra blue to go with Quill. I don't know if we're going to get a set that combines those two just yet. Also in that scale from Hot Toys, there is a Grogu Deluxe set. Grogu's been released paired up with the Mandalorian, I believe, but this Grogu Deluxe set comes with his hover pram, a little storage case that he shows up in one of the episodes, I believe the Sorgan episode.
There's a lot of the figures so far that have included a Grogu as like a deluxe version, like the Mandalorian or Ahsoka Tano from the Mandalorian. These figures were available on their own and as a deluxe set with Grogu, which does tend to put the price point up a little bit. So if you've perhaps bought just the standard figures because of the price increase for what is essentially a small accessory, here's your chance to sort of add Grogu with some really fun extras. I really like the little Loth cat. I wish they were selling that one on its own.
That's highly detailed, very realistically detailed. I mean, as with all of the Hot Toys, and that's the interesting thing I find about Hot Toys is when they create characters based on animated representations, they do some really cool interpretations of the figures. And that's the case for the Bad Batch, Echo, and Hunter 12-inch figures that were also revealed. I love what they've done with the faces in terms of translating that animated style into a realistic look. They've done a really good job. And also in the 12-inch scale is a Stormtrooper Commander from The Mandalorian. So we've got a few different Stormtrooper variants coming out in that scale now. They all look quite cool together. Also from Hot Toys are the Cos Babies figures, which are a shade bigger than the Funko Pops, animated cartoony style. They released a half dozen different sets from The Mandalorian, and these look great. They're priced higher than Funko Pops because they've got a little bit more detail, but there's some really cool characters represented in the most recently revealed range. Boba Fett in his battle-worn version of his armor from The Mandalorian, Ahsoka also from The Mandalorian, Bo-Katan, a couple of different Grogu figures. You've got him eating one of his blue cookies and trying to fix the wires on the Razor Crest. And very cool, there is a Luke Skywalker from The Mandalorian holding Grogu with R2-D2 as a deluxe pack.
I gotta say, when you compare the Hot Toys May the 4th reveals with the Hasbro reveals, Hot Toys really knocked it out of the park. There is a lot in this range that's sure to be exciting for all sorts of collectors. You've got Ahsoka and Bo-Katan in the very cute Cos Babies range. I really like the paint app and the detail and the posing on these figures. As you said, they're a little bit more expensive than the Pop Vinyl figures, but they are more detailed. They're a higher quality, so they're worth more. And that Blurg, like, it's just such a neat thing that fans are going to get really excited. Reminds me of like when they Sideshow announced the life-size Baby Yoda and the internet goes crazy. Yeah. Like the fan reactions, you know, it's just like there are some things, you know, that fans really, really want, you know. I know Hasbro kind of has a duty to pump out like all the second and third tier characters so you can flesh out a collection, but I feel like they really should have included at least one sort of really standout new character in the May the 4th lineup.
Okay, so Hot Toys, the announcements kind of appeared with those from Sideshow Collectibles because in the US, Hot Toys are available through Sideshow Collectibles, of course. But directly from Sideshow is a really interesting new announcement we haven't really seen before to any huge extent. Animated style 12-inch figures. So not realistic versions of animated characters, but actually animated style Clone Wars, Anakin Skywalker, and Obi-Wan Kenobi. These look quite nice, and that's a pretty cool pair to get as a display set, I think.
This is a really good fit for Sideshow. Their 12-inch toys are a little less detailed and a lower price point than Hot Toys figures, but that really works when you're going with an animated style. There is less facial detail to work with and less costume detail to have to render on these figures. So I am really keen to see if they're going to do more, whether this is like testing the waters and see how popular these figures are. We might see more
we'll
in
see
this range.
We'll see an animated Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Put my money on it.
That's neat to see because I do like the style of the Clone Wars animation. And it's been a long time since we've seen Hasbro do like those old school classic animated style figures before they just kind of did everything in a classic Hasbro action figure style. So it's really neat to see. I know Gentle Giant's done a little bit of the animation things, but Gentle Giant's been doing animated style collectibles for quite some time. So it didn't feel quite as new as this animated style 12-inch figures. I'm really keen to see them.
All right. And also direct from Sideshow is their premium format. That's quarter scale, very large. Ahsoka Tano. What do you think of that?
She is really, really cool. It's been a little while since we've had a sort of a female Jedi in the premium format scale. Many years ago, Sideshow was really knocking out characters like Shaak Ti from The Force Unleashed. We had Darth Talon and Aayla Secura. They were really pumping through popular female characters in really cool sculptures. And then they kind of like took a back seat, and the line kind of focused on some of the older classic characters. Of course, that's always going to be popular, but I kind of missed the really sort of inventive, cool female characters. And I always hoped that Ahsoka would show up in this scale at some point, and they've done a really good job. This is Ahsoka as Fulcrum from Rebels, so she has her sort of armored and her white sabers.
She's in a bit of a crouched over action pose, isn't she? So she really fills the space. It feels a lot better than just a static upright figure. It's a cool display piece.
Yeah, and she is available in two versions. Sideshow every now and again will do an exclusive version of one of their premium formats or their 12-inch figures, where if you buy it directly from Sideshow, there is an exclusive version where this Ahsoka Tano premium format statue can come in an exclusive version with a Morai little sort of add-on accessory, which is of course the sort of blue-green owl creature that is often seen with Ahsoka throughout the different series. So if you're a hardcore Ahsoka fan, you're going to want the exclusive version with that little extra accessory. It's really neat.
And also tacked on to the Sideshow Collectibles announcements was a new General Grievous Deluxe 1/10 scale statue from a company called Iron Studio, so that's being distributed by Sideshow. 1/10 scale is a little bit smaller than the sort of premium format scale, but General Grievous is a large figure, so this is quite a large statue, and it's a highly detailed representation of the character with a fabric cape, all four arms extended, lightsabers, all lit. Quite cool if you're a fan of that character.
It's a good price point because over the years, the premium formats have certainly crept up in price. So this is a good sort of scale back. It's essentially what you used to pay for premium formats like 10 years ago. So it's a little smaller, but just as detailed, just as cool. And I kind of like the pose and the base better than the very old premium format from Sideshow Collectibles that they did Grievous. He was essentially just standing on a flat surface. This one has Grievous sort of up higher on a piece of wreckage, so he's a little bit more of an interesting sculpture in its entirety. It's definitely worth having a look at.
Okay, Funko Pop vinyl figures. We see just released on May the 4th, three characters from video games. I've been referring to them as gaming greats, but we haven't actually seen the boxes to see if they include that logo, but Funko has been doing characters with the gaming greats branding. Anyway, three new characters from video games, including Boss RC1138 from Republic Commando, a Knight Brother, and Iden Versio. These are all available for pre-order in New Zealand from a number of different retailers, including Mighty Ape right now. They're also releasing a full set of characters from the Bad Batch, six figures in the basic set, two of which come with alternate versions with the collectible coin. Again, these are all available for pre-order in New Zealand right now. So if you've watched The Bad Batch, you want a way to get representations of all the characters you've seen from the opening episode, Funko Pops, you can get your hands on them without having to wait. Well, you have to wait a little bit for the pre-orders, but you won't have to wait for each character to come out individually like you do with some of the other lines.
Yeah, I feel like things like The Bad Batch, you want all or none. Yeah. And it's just like, I'm a little hesitant to jump in with the Black Series because we don't know when that series is going to be complete, but Funko coming through with the whole set, yeah. Yeah, if you miss one, then it's just kind of like, oh, then you're compelled to have to track it down for a higher price overseas. I like Funko just like, here's the set all at once. You can just swoop them all in with one pre-order or go into a store and pick them all up at once.
Yeah, so those Bad Batch figures, they're actually quite tempting, particularly given our thoughts on the first episode from The Bad Batch, which we will come to down the line. We've still got a little bit to go on this podcast. But I do like the fact that we've got a Republic Commando, specifically Boss, who is one of my favorite characters. I've collected most collectibles of that character, and we may even see more from Delta Squad.
Yeah, I do hope they fill out the set, the squad of the other Republic Commandos. They're certainly a very popular game, very popular characters. And I am really excited personally to see the collectible companies like Funko and Hasbro bringing out action figures and collectibles from the Star Wars video games. A lot of these are kind of classed as legends. They're not really included in current storylines, but fans still really love them. So things like the Nihilus and Revan, Republic Commandos, I just want to see more.
Gentle Giant had a small handful, not quite as big as some of the other ones we've been talking about, a small handful of announcements. A Wrecker bust in the animated style, so these are smaller than the standard mini busts and at a lower price point. Wrecker, presumably the first of their Bad Batch lineup. One thing they're doing with that character that's a little bit odd is that he comes in two versions, an exclusive version and a standard version. It is the exclusive version that has the helmet as well as the human head. Whereas the standard version, the standard version does not have the helmet. Mildly frustrating, perhaps, if you don't get hold of that exclusive version. Anyway, we presume that's the first of their Bad Batch range. In the standard mini bust range is Wedge Antilles from A New Hope. Cool to see. We've seen a number of the other X-Wing pilots released in this mini bust line, so they look great together. I'm looking forward to getting my hands on him with a bit of luck. And interestingly, in the Jumbo Vintage line, they have cycled back around. Darth Vader was one of the very first figures after the Stormtrooper that they released in this line. Originally on a Star Wars backing card, they are releasing him on an ESB backing card this time around, which may be a little bit frustrating if you've been trying to complete this line, because they've still got a lot of characters that they could be filling out before they cycle back around to re-release figures on different versions of backing cards, but that's just my personal opinion. I'm still waiting to see 2-1 BNFX7 released in this line.
It's a little bit frustrating because these figures display well out of their backing card display case because it's not sealed. You can put them back in and you can take them out. And it's essentially just the piece of cardboard behind him that they have changed for this figure.
It totally is.
Yeah. So you kind of wish that they had jumped into some of the other more characters. Like, yeah, there are some really cool vintage characters that would be really fun to see in that blown up 12-inch scale, particularly ones that were never made as 12 inches back in the vintage era as well. So it's a little bit of a letdown for a May the 4th reveal, but I get that, yeah, there are going to be some people that don't have the first one, and this is a way of adding Vader to their collection.
Okay, so that's all characters and statues and figures and so forth, but I'll throw one more into the mix, talk about the Herschel Bag Supply Company, because they preempted this and specifically went out of their way to release their new Mandalorian line of bags on May the 4th, and they are available in New Zealand. There is a New Zealand version of the website, and there are in fact stockists here in New Zealand. They released a Star Wars line a few months back now. Some of that was discounted because they probably had a little bit more in the country than they possibly wanted. But these are very nice, high quality bags, backpacks, sports bags, and so forth. And their most recent lineup is a range based on the Mandalorian series.
These are really trendy, a range of bags inspired by Star Wars characters and costumes without being too heavily emblazoned with logos and pictures. Like the Loungefly bags that tend to be very bold and bright, inspired by characters. These ones are ones that you can use and no one's going to immediately know that they're Star Wars, but there's lots of little hidden touches. I especially like their Stormtrooper bags.
Okay, moving on from product reveals, but still talking about Star Wars Day, we mentioned that we did a lot of things that related to Star Wars hobbies on Star Wars Day, and that included listening to Star Wars music. One thing I came across almost accidentally was a Star Wars playlist called the Star Wars Best Of, an official playlist that can be accessed through most of your music streaming platforms. If you go to disneymusic.co/StarWarsBestOf, there is a list that takes you through to Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, Vivo, SoundCloud, etc. Over 70 different tracks from the movies, from the series, from the animated series and so forth, all, as far as I can tell so far, free to play through those various platforms. All the best of Star Wars in one place, easy to access.
This is the perfect backing track for your May the 4th Star Wars celebrations and a great bookmark for any occasion where you want to just have Star Wars music in your life.
I never get tired of the main Star Wars theme. The award ceremony at the end of Star Wars, the theme to that still puts, you know, goosebumps on my arms and so forth. Can't get enough of John Williams. We also played Star Wars video games on Star Wars Day. For May the 4th, Star Wars The Old Republic have their annual free mini pet and game mini pet. This year, the colouring of the astromech droid that they've re-released is based on the Bad Batch colouring, so that dark grey, dark red colouring. Here's free if you log in during the week from May the 4th through to May the 11th. Double XP is available in Star Wars The Old Republic during that same time frame, as are 50% unlocks on collections, again within that same time frame window. And if you're looking for new Star Wars games to play, I believe they're still available. I checked earlier in the day, both Humble Bundle and GOG.com have a huge discount, often 65% or more, on all the classic Star Wars video games available through Steam or directly on your PC.
This is great if you're looking for a Star Wars video game to fill the space while you wait for the Lego Star Wars game to come out, which we're still waiting for, so it gives you time to check out some of the old classics while you wait.
And some of those old classics are very, very playable, and you know, they don't require necessarily a lot of time or quite the same level of investment as some of the modern games.
And you also don't need a top-of-the-line gaming computer for a lot of these older classic games.
So as I mentioned when we were talking about a lot of those May the 4th product releases, a number of things that we listed, the Hot Toys Cosbabies, a lot of the Funkos, some of the action figures are already available here in New Zealand, but there were a couple of other store reports locally that are worth just mentioning to round things out before we get on to talking about the Bad Batch. There is a Rainbow Pride Stormtrooper pop coming out in the month of June. He's available for pre-order for $25 from Mighty Ape and other retailers. Adidas have released some new footwear. These are Stan Smith Yoda sneakers, so tennis shoe style sneakers. Plain white, generally speaking, but with a stark green Yoda face on the heel of the shoe, and the saying, "There is no try," down the side of the shoe. I believe that's in gold. So if you're looking for some tennis shoes rather than the sort of running shoe style that Adidas generally does with the Star Wars franchise, those are available locally now.
If you're a little bit burned from some of the unfortunate Adidas Star Wars releases from earlier, where they took pre-orders and didn't deliver, these ones are actually in stock, so there's no issues there.
Mighty Ape is running a Lego month this month. In terms of Star Wars products, we see that the new Star Wars helmets, the Biker Scout and TIE Pilot, are out, priced at $99, and the Probe Droid in that deluxe packaging is $129. For Lego month at Mighty Ape, you can get discounts on a lot of their Lego sets, and they have a prize draw that rotates through each week. This week, so closing on Friday, so you can still get in if you're quick, you buy any Lego product and you'll go in the draw to win a massive Lego prize pack each week. And this week it is a Star Wars prize pack, a lot of good Star Wars sets, Lego sets in that prize pack, and you just need to purchase any Lego item from Mighty Ape to go into that draw. New Zealand Mint continues pumping out collectible coins. One thing they did that was very short-lived in terms of availability was silver Beskar bars. This was a mintage of 1,000, but mysteriously 800 of them were pre-arranged, pre-ordered by an unnamed customer, so only 200 were available directly at the time of release. A very cool idea for a collectible, a bit of a weird way to release them, and quite hard to get, unfortunately. They've also cycled back around to their classic coin collection to release a Phantom Menace Anakin Skywalker and his Pod Racer coin. And as with their other classic collection coins, these coins come out in three different versions. They come out in a 1 ounce silver, a 1/4 ounce gold, and a 1 ounce gold version, each within a display box with a certificate of authenticity. EB Games, who we talked about earlier because they've got some exclusive figures up for pre-order, also have quite a large range of new t-shirts and hoodies and even a beanie, most of which, but not all, are based on scenes and characters from The Mandalorian. There is one original trilogy montage t-shirt that also appears on blankets, I believe, and such like. But there's some very neat designs, some cool artistic style versions of The Mandalorian in particular. Some of the products have graphics on the sleeves or the back of the garments. Quite a lot to list. You'll do better to actually jump over to SWZ website or even the EB Games website to check out the full range of new apparel at EB Games. And finally, in addition to the new vintage collection figures that we've heard about being announced, some of which are available for pre-order, a bunch of anticipated figures are actually shipping, so arriving on collectors' doors if you pre-ordered them, but also available from Mighty Ape and other retailers. These include the likes of The Child, Boba Fett, Bespin Princess Leia, Snaggletooth, and Grief Karga, all from the 3.75-inch Vintage Collection line. Okay, now we're finally at the point where we can talk about the Bad Batch. We've saved this to last just in case you haven't seen it yet. If you haven't seen it yet, you should go and watch it. You can go and watch it right now. We'll sit here and wait. Head off and do that right now. Okay, you're back. Big, long, 75-minute episode. Subsequent episodes are only going to be half an hour long, but it was worth it. We sat down and watched it. It was almost feature length. It was a great episode. I wasn't sure how I felt going into this episode. Must admit, I had a little bit of hesitation that this might just be, you know, soldiers doing missions and be a little bit dry, but there was some really solid, engaging character development, really tied into plot elements that overlap with Revenge of the Sith in a really, really engaging way. I'm using engaging again a little bit much, but that is my take-home message from it. I really bought into this and am really looking forward to subsequent episodes.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if this was going to be Disney kind of just stretching out the Clone Wars just a little bit more because of the popularity of the final seventh season, but I was pleasantly surprised. Obviously, there's a lot of hype around the Star Wars live action, maybe less so around these animated series. Tends to sort of appeal to different crowds outside sort of the mainstream hardcore Star Wars fans. But I really did enjoy this. There were a few sort of like surprise moments, a few characters I wasn't expecting. And I thought it was sort of really neat character building, even just within the first episode. So I was really surprised. Like, not that I had low bar for this, but I just wasn't quite sure what to expect. Because it is an animated series, so you don't sure whether it's, let's stretch it out because we want to make some merchandise from the Clone Wars, or, you know, just give us something that is a story that fans really want to see told.
Yeah, so very, very strong opening, you know, solid opening scenes with Order 66. That's where it's set in terms of timeline. Spoilers, Deepa Balaba, Caleb Dune, a.k.a. Kanan Jarrus, which overlaps with the story told in the Kanan comic with a few minor variations, but basically the same story, the same plot points leading into their return, and just seeing how we see the clone army being transformed into the Imperial Stormtrooper army. There's Tarkin thrown into the mix. There's a new character that's actually voiced by a Kiwi actress, Michelle Ang, who, born in Christchurch, moved around a little bit depending on where she's doing productions, but some of you will know her from local series such as Outrageous Fortune. She did a few episodes of Xena. She's well known for working on Fear the Walking Dead. Just really cool to hear another, be aware of another Kiwi involved in Star Wars at this level. I think she's going to be a significant character.
Because of her character's relationship to the clones, I was really happy to see that this character was voiced by a New Zealand actress. A lot of the times when there are New Zealand characters, they are so often played by people from Australia or with an Australian accent. And of course, it's a different accent. So I was really happy to see that they picked somebody with a recognisably New Zealand accent.
Yeah, all credit to Dee Bradley Baker for his role of all the clones and all the Bad Batch. But he isn't Temuera Morrison. He doesn't quite nail the Kiwi accent. It does stand out a little bit, and Kiwi fans probably notice that a little bit more. We live with it, but it's not ideal. He has a good, great voice talent, and that's the role he's been given. But we do have now a genuine Kiwi in a role that arguably should be voiced by a Kiwi actor. The other thing that I really enjoyed about this episode of The Bad Batch was the Onderon setting. We've seen Onderon represented in the animated series before, but I feel like even more than previously, this tied into the representations of Onderon in Star Wars The Old Republic, which we're intimately familiar with. Really cool that overlap between different media there. Just a little bit of a Easter egg for those that are familiar with, you know, the way that planet is represented in the video game.
And fun that it was used for the setting for such a crucial moment in this episode.
Yeah, Saw Gerrera as a bit of a catalyst for helping the clones realize where their allegiances or philosophies lie. I think that's a great turning point, and we'll see how that evolves and who it affects more than others. You know what I'm saying?
I think this is really setting off some interesting discussions for fans, particularly people that really get into the clone troopers and the different sort of Fives, Echo, Rex, and all the others from the animated series, we're really seeing the sort of different personalities, particularly with the sort of augmented clones as we sort of come to see them in The Bad Batch, but seeing the real sort of mental hurdles that they are doing now that the Clone Wars is over. We haven't really... We see a little bit of that with Rex and the clones in Rebels, where it's some years down the track where they've had the time to kind of process. But we get it touched on a little bit in the Clone Wars that the clone troopers know that they were created for one thing. But we haven't really delved into what these characters are going to do and feel once the war is over. You know, they sort of, they want orders. They want to just be troopers. They want to be soldiers. But what happens when the sides are completely switched? It's not the Republic. They're not fighting for good anymore. They're fighting for the Empire now. And we're seeing the characters really sort of learn, sort of, it reminds me of Lost Stars, where we see the Empire from people in the Empire's perspective. And as they come to sort of slowly realize that everything that they sort of raised to believe is not really...
Yeah, Karen Travis touches on that sort of self-realization in the Republic Commando novels, where some of the, you know, clones really are looking outside of their role in the army. But yeah, we're going to get a little bit more of that specifically coming from Bad Batch over the next few episodes, without a doubt.
And I'm really excited to finally get some sort of clarity on the character of Omega. She's a little bit mysterious in the trailers. We kind of know that she has some sort of connection. She is wearing a Kaminoan sort of necklace headdress in the trailers and that. So we know she's involved somehow, but now we finally get the sort of the big reveal that she is a clone and a female clone. So that's going to be really interesting. Is she going to be something that was done purposefully but in secret because she seems to have a close relationship with some of the Kaminoans? Or is she really, you know, air quotes, defective? Is this something sort of like Jurassic Park, life finds a way?
Unintended, yeah.
That something has gone sort of a little bit awry and she's come out female instead of the intended male. So it'll be interesting to see how they sort of really play all that and how her connection to the Bad Batch. She seems gravitated well towards them than any of the other clones.
That could have been really weak. That could have been quite, you know, trite in terms of, you know, the kid that needs protecting and so forth. But I found it actually quite believable.
Mm. Yeah, it wasn't like a annoying tag-along kid. I thought the character sort of traveled those sort of hurdles and sort of found her place and helped out.
And she started revealing her skill set. She's has some weapon proficiencies, and we'll undoubtedly see her become more and more part of that team down the line, I think.
Well, because in the Clone Wars, we see young Boba working with bounty hunters, and he's not fully realized as an older clone. He hasn't gone through the clone trooper training that we see depicted in Attack of the Clones. So we would assume that this new female clone is going to be kind of similar in her innate abilities. And I'm really keen to see how this character progresses in these upcoming stories. You know, it's an interesting addition. I wouldn't have thought that they would bring in sort of such a unique character, because obviously they've kept a secret. All the promotional sort of focus has been on the Bad Batch characters. And of course, we also see the issues with Crosshair coming in, and I think fans can kind of see where that's going to go.
Did you notice with the version 2 of his helmet, after he had his interaction with Tarkin, as well as the green visor, his sort of, you know, respirator tips at the front of his helmet had a green tinge to them. So yeah, very strong Death Trooper vibes going on there. I almost hope that they're not, I mean, sure, they're going to want to try and rescue him and bring him back into the fold, but I almost hope that he sticks around as an adversary for a while. I think that'll be more interesting in some ways.
Yeah, I think he'll be an interesting sort of villain to the piece, obviously, as well as the likes of Tarkin. And with Tarkin, does that mean we're going to see Vader in this somewhere? But yeah, I would love to see them sort of show us the development and the sort of the genesis of the Death Troopers, them being, you know, an elite force. He certainly would fit that description. And how the transition of these different specialist clone trooper groups, if they're related at all, to the different sections of Imperial troopers that we see. Biker Scouts, Snow Troopers, and all that kind of stuff. Are we going to see them developing specific skill sets? Are they going to use clone troopers to train stormtroopers? What is the real reason for the discontinuation of clones? Because with this new animated series, Disney can, let's face it, override any previous novels or comic stories that may have depicted these specific reasons or how this transition essentially comes about. So it'll be interesting to see if they take notes from previous works or come up with a completely new original story. Tarkin seems to be heavily involved in this decision. Certainly he is already highly ranking within the Empire, as we see him at the end of episode 3. So it'll be interesting to see if we sort of dive more into that, because certainly in the Clone Wars series we did really have some really sort of in-depth, more sort of intellectual moments, particularly with Omega. I think we could really see some sort of soul searching for the clone troopers, finding their place in the world, and then with Omega in the mix and how everything's going to fit together in this very turbulent transition period. And another fun little moment is that we have a cantina food fight in Star Wars. I thought that was, it could have been silly, but I thought it was actually kind of fun, and showed the sort of tensions within the clone trooper ranks in this sort of uncertain period. So yeah. I thought it was quite well done. It wasn't too sort of like slapstick. Like, we got a little bit of that in Resistance that kind of treaded a little too close to kids' cartoon.
Yeah, that was quite slapstick, wasn't it? That's another story.
So I thought it was done well.
Yeah, and in terms of fun moments, I loved the interweaving with other media, with the movies in particular. I love the use of the Ian McDiarmid sound bites, Emperor Palpatine announcement of the first Galactic Empire.
I think it's fun because having watched those movies so many times, the exact beats of the phrase is like in your head. And, you know, voice actors do a very good job of like recreating voices and the pacing, but there's just nothing that can compare to having, you know, the actual Emperor Palpatine sort of speech included in there. And so I thought that was a neat touch.
We're very interested to hear what everyone out in audience land thought of this episode of The Bad Batch. If you're listening on YouTube, you can leave a comment straight down below this video. If you're listening on one of the other platforms that this podcast is available on, head over to our website and actually add comments into the article listing for this podcast.
For me, I was impressed. I was kind of going into it going, it's Star Wars, I'm going to watch it, I'm going to love it. But having watched the first episode, I'm already wanting Bad Batch Funko Pops for my collection. You know, like, I wasn't sure. And I'm like, yeah, I like these characters. I like where the setup is going to take us. Yeah, I'm really keen to see where this goes.
That says a lot. I think it's really turned us onto the merchandise, which I think is a signifier.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we never say no to Star Wars merch. But, you know, you have to pick and choose these days because there's an avalanche of stuff out there. So when something really tips you off and wanting to buy some merch or a t-shirt or something like that, I think it's a pretty good signifier that, yeah, it's hitting on the right notes. And I know Disney really doesn't want to trip up with Star Wars, and especially Disney Plus. That's their big breadwinner at the moment, so I'm happy to see that it's off to a good start.
So the episodes of The Bad Batch are going to give us a lot to talk about. I've heard that there might be 14 or 16 episodes. I've heard different opinions. It's going to give us a lot to talk about over the next two podcasts. The SWZ podcast comes out on Fridays, so moving forward we'll be able to talk about the Bad Batch episodes quite freely in the podcast, because it will have been a full week, so that gives everybody time to watch it, so we won't have to be quite as delicate about warning you that spoilers are coming up. So we look forward to watching that next episode, Friday New Zealand time with a bit of luck, and subsequently on further Fridays for a good few months yet.
Oh, and one last moment. I so want to make Wrecker's Tuca doll. It's very, very cute. I've seen some fans already DIYing this toy, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see a merchandise version of that toy. It's pretty cute.
Indeed. So that's about it for this installment. I guess we are done doing talking. Thank you all for listening in. We really appreciate it. Stay tuned to our website, swz.co.nz, for Star Wars news for New Zealanders, and another podcast episode next week. Jump on over to either our Facebook group or the SWZ message boards to discuss all the latest Star Wars news with other Kiwi fans. Thank you for listening.
And may the Force be with you.